It's got a BBC witness in a gay wedding which took place long before same-sex marriage became legal in the US. Claire Bowes of the BBC World Service History Programme Witness recalls what happened when a gay couple from Minnesota were issued a marriage licence and managed to find a Christian minister willing to hold a wedding ceremony for them.
It was a warm day, an old Victorian home in South Minneapolis near a lake. Lovely house, nicely furnished.
A traditional setting for a wedding in the summer of 1971. But nothing else about this wedding was traditional. It was the first gay marriage in America.
And there were a number of people there, mostly gay and some lesbian and some straight people. And there was a cake with, rather than a man and a woman on the top, there was a bride and a groom, there was two grooms.
The two grooms were Jack Baker and Mike McConnell. They were young, professional and good-looking. And on their special day, Methodist minister Roger Lynn remembers they seemed an excellent match.
It was very clear that these two people were in love with each other and that they were a good balance. You know, Michael is more introverted, Jack is more extroverted. They balanced each other well.
But this description of a loving, supportive couple was at odds with the prevailing image of homosexuality at the time.
A lot of people saw the gay community as just gay bars and promiscuous sex, and a lot of, you know, it was a lot of bad PR. And so going forward to support gay marriage was a clear step toward the mainstream. And to say, look, you know, we're just the same as anyone else. We get jobs, we pay taxes, we buy homes, and we marry each other.
Pastor Roger Lynn had met Jack and Mike at a drop-in centre where all three helped victims of anti-gay discrimination. It was also a centre for activism, the place where Jack and Mike's campaign to get married was planned. In 1970, their first application for a licence was turned down because they were both men. They challenged the decision in court, claiming it was unconstitutional. A year later, the Supreme Court of Minnesota rejected the argument, saying,
"The institution of marriage as a union between man and woman, uniquely involving the procreation and rearing of children within a family, is as old as the Book of Genesis."
Chicago Museum of Broadcast Communications has footage of Jack Baker telling a talk show at the time how they'd tried to show up what they saw as the absurdity of this argument.
"We testified before our state legislature and said, you're giving childless heterosexual couples the rights of marriage that they shouldn't have because they're not contributing to society. Why don't you take them away from childless heterosexual couples and we'll drop our lawsuit?" And they thought that was funny. So you don't get your rights by going to the legislature and testifying. You go in and disrupt the mechanism and you find ways to just cause chaos.
Jack Baker and Mike McConnell hoped to cause maximum chaos by taking the case all the way to the US Supreme Court. But the judges refused to rule on it, saying there was no substantial federal question. So during the legal wranglings, the couple began working on another route to a licence. Jack Baker changed his name to the gender-neutral Pat Lynn, hoping it would be less conspicuous. Their gamble paid off, the licence was granted. They could now go ahead and plan a wedding. Jack and Michael found a minister to conduct the service, but at the last minute, he backed out. So 24 hours before the ceremony, Pastor Roger Lynn stepped in.
They were anxious. I mean, they were worried about not being able to find a minister because, you know, it wasn't just, you know, a marriage between the two of them, but it was a social event in the gay community, and it was also a media event.
So you were sure that this was something that you could do morally, but what about,
yes.
what did your church say about this?
Well, the Methodist Church at the time had no rules against marrying two men, or two women for that matter.
So in black and white, there was nothing for or against. But what was your feeling about what the reaction would be?
My feeling was that the Methodist Church has always taken a strong stand on social issues. And I expected that at least some of the church would be supportive of it.
There was certainly nothing in the ceremony itself to cause offence. The wording was no different than any other, except for the last bit.
There's the exchange of rings, and then I pronounce them husband and husband in this case, and there's prayers in the course of the service.
So that moment when you say husband and husband, that must have been the real moment where
it was electricity. It was an emotional moment for me particularly when they kissed. I had this visceral reaction to it, that this is different. This is a very different experience. And it forced me to come to terms with my own homophobia.
So seeing Jack and Mike kiss, it was something that you hadn't ever seen before, I guess.
No, I hadn't. My best friend in seminary was gay, and we had had long intellectual conversations. He never tried to hustle me, you know, and I had never seen he and his partner in intimate relations. And so that was new for me. It was that was eye-opening, and I still remember it vividly. When I see a man and a woman kissing, a bride kissing the groom, I can identify with that. But when two men kiss, you know, I have difficulty feeling in that place of imagining a man kissing me that way. Mm-hmm. Was frightening.
Despite his daily work helping support gay people, Roger now found himself face to face with his own prejudice. But at the end of the ceremony, when many of the congregation came up to him in tears, he says he knew he'd done the right thing. But not everyone agreed.
I was on a high, but my wife was not happy about it. And so there was tension at home because we still were members of Hennepin Avenue Methodist Church. And the next Sunday, I sang in the choir and was an usher in the service. And the minister preached a sermon dedicated to the vilifying of the marriage.
And how did you feel being in the congregation that day?
I thought it was rather funny. I knew I had done the right thing. I was happy that I had done it. And there were a number of people in the congregation that were supportive of what I had done. And so I think I felt a little smug.
But as he soon discovered, there were to be repercussions, and soon the Methodist ministry began receiving letters from all over the country.
Somebody wrote a letter to me from Boston, addressed to gay hippie minister in Minneapolis, and it got to me, it was delivered to me.
Presumably not in favour of what you'd done.
Yes, I really hadn't appreciated the enormity of it. I mean, I knew it was important for Michael and Jack, but I hadn't thought about what it would mean in terms of the press and where it would place me. And I was fired from my job. But the chairman of the board was a friend of mine, and she told the director that he couldn't legally fire me. I hadn't done what I did on company time. I hadn't done anything illegal. And so if he fired me, I could sue the neighborhood center. So they hired me back. And I worked out my contract, which was a year, but then after the contract was up, he didn't renew my contract.
So this cost you quite an awful lot, personally, really.
Well, I suppose it did, but for me, it defined who I am. I mean, it was a clear statement to the community, it was a clear statement to my friends.
But your marriage suffered too.
Yeah, my marriage suffered, but there were other problems.
So looking back, how do you feel about what you did?
Oh, I'm happy that I did what I did, and I've never regretted having done it. And, you know, if I had a chance to do it again, I'd do it again.
I spoke to Pastor Roger Lynn in 2013. Jack Baker and Mike McConnell still live together in Minneapolis. The U.S. Supreme Court voted to make same-sex marriage legal throughout the USA in 2015. That's it for this edition of Witness History with me, Claire Bowes.